This is the Change of Plans podcast. I'm Joe Aguirre. He's Vin Provenzano.
And I
got to tell you a really cool story yesterday.
All right, let's go. Let's start it off.
My wife's best friend, who's a scientist, her name is Tatiana. She and her husband, Prescott. I'll tell you a story about him in a minute because this kid's amazing. Also a scientist.
Amazing scientist, got to be Prescott. Like, there's no fucking alternative to your career. If your name is Prescott, then a fucking scientist, and you got to be amazing. So continue, but that is a great name.
Smartest dude I know, by the way. Of course. But we'll get to him in a minute. They live in Massachusetts. He actually teaches at MIT.
Bum.
Right? He's a smart dude. So... they were heading to New Jersey where her family is, and they stopped into our town, and my wife went and met him at a park, and they got some food, and then my kids got out of school, and she was like, hey, you gotta come and meet these guys. And I was like, of course. I bring the kids down, and, you know, we catch up after a couple minutes, and she goes, oh, hey, I love your new podcast with Vin. You guys are great, really great chemistry. She watched a whole bunch of them. She talked about living in the gain and not the gap.
Right. Yes, yes.
And then explained it to my wife and to her husband. And hearing really good things about this podcast. I think this is
it's a good one. Joe. I don't want to say I'm shocked, but I am. I do become shocked a little bit. I got a buddy of mine from high school. It's dude Corey. He's like, listen, I mean, he did like a marathon, listen to all of them. Like, he's like, listen, this is my entertainment. He's like, dude, you got, you know, you're our entertainment. I love Joe. I love the vibe you're doing. I listen to all the episodes, keep it going. And it's dope, man. I'm loving the response. You know, I wish my wife was a little more supportive. Like, yours doesn't listen. My listens all too much. So I literally was just on the phone with her maybe like an hour ago, and she's like, oh, I'm listening to your podcast. I'm right at the part when you're talking about my kid has to take a shit during dinner. I'm like, damn, you always got to pick out the negative stuff.
Yeah.
But she's our number one fan as well. But no, we're getting good reviews, man. So I love it. Hopefully we don't disappoint. But we're gonna do what we need to do out here to keep the people entertained. We're trying, right?
That's what it's all about. Having some fun and shooting the breeze. Maybe we learn a little something along the way.
You know, that is game plan. I tell people, you know, they're like, who's this guy Joe? And yada, yada, yada. I'm like, listen, this wasn't planned. Like, I got to tell people this is purely organic, right? Like, this was, hey, Vin, I'm going to get the training wheels off of you. You're going to be good to go. And you're like a rash that hasn't gone away, bro. Like, it's just, you keep coming back every week. I put a lot of ointment on, and you're just like, boom, I'm back. Full effect, full flare up. Joe is here, but it's been great. It's and frankly, I don't want to sound corny and say I couldn't see myself on the show without you. But teardrop, drip, 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 caught them all. So yeah, man, I'm glad people are having fun. You know, how was your trip to Cape Cod? I see you got that Cape Cod hoodie on. So you're one of those.
My wife and I have matching sweatshirts, but I'll say this. I grabbed mine first because I was wearing khakis, and I thought, oh, looks good with the khakis, the cranberry. And she said, do they have one in the ladies? What was I going to say?
Nope. Did you walk?
I helped her look. I helped her find the size she wanted.
Did you put the sweatshirt on as soon as you left the store?
No, like, she did. And then I only just wore this for the first time today.
All right, good, good. So you weren't walking down the streets of Cape Cod and you're matching Cape Cod hoodies. It's just, it's really a pet peeve of mine. I know we were talking about it before we got on the air, but there's nothing worse than clothes that just state where you're at. Like, it's just, and it, we were just talking about it. Like, I don't ever want to do it, but then I inevitably do it because I'm like, I need this hoodie. And it's like, for that one day, it's the most comfortable hoodie ever. And then you wash it and it's a fucking belly shirt and you're never going to wear the Cape Cod shirt again.
All right. I told you on the last episode that when we go to the Cape, we do everything my wife has done since she was like 8 years old.
Yes.
One of the things she does every year, and now me and my kids are also involved in these shenanigans, we get a new Cape Cod sweatshirt. Oh my God. And it lasts until about next year when we buy a new one. I usually get the black one with the red trim.
Yep.
And this year, I thought, you know what? I'm getting older. I'm more of a khakis guy these days. I might as well go cranberry. It'll look nice.
The cranberry does look good, Joe. You know what I really hate is when you wear like a Cape Cod hoodie or like a Nantucket, and then someone walks by and be like, "Hey, been to Cape Cod?" No, fuckface. Never been to Cape Cod. It just happened to have a Cape Cod hoodie.
If somebody asks me, I'm just going to go, "What's Cape Cod?"
So how was the trip? You had a good time? Family did well? No one got eaten by sharks? Nothing?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I left work early. I recorded my afternoon drive radio show. So I got to actually listen to myself a little bit driving out to the Cape. And my wife ordered my favorite sandwich from this sandwich shop that's only in the Cape, Lambert's. So she orders my sandwich.
What's the sandwich, Joe?
It's called the Satchmo.
So what's on it?
It's a Cajun turkey.
Ooh,
with hot sauce, cheddar cheese, pickles, lettuce, tomato. I try to have one for every day we're at the Cape, generally speaking. That's how good it is. So my ETA is 3:30. She says, "I'll order some sandwiches for us. Grab them. It's right down the street from the house." By the way, we're having dinner at the neighbor's house at 4.
So wait, let me get this straight. So you're gonna crush this. It sounds like a pretty big sandwich before you go to dinner at 4 o'clock.
That's what I thought. I pick up the sandwich. Get home, it's like 20 to 4.
Yep.
And I sort of sort through the sandwiches. I go, "Who's this for?" And she's like, "It's for Heidi. That's the neighbor."
Yep.
We're not eating these till we get over there. Is that what you're telling me?
No.
I drove 2.5 hours. I get my favorite sandwich.
And you gotta wait.
Dude, I want to say we cracked those sandwiches about 4:45.
No shot, bro. There's no, I'm telling you now, it's one of my pet peeves we talked about. I mean, one, I will tell you, there's zero shot I could drive in a car with a sandwich on my lap. Like, there's no shot that food's not all over my seats, like all over my shirt within 5 seconds because I'm a fucking fatty, dude. And two, I am not waiting around for an hour. I would just be staring at that bag of sandwiches, being completely rude to anyone who is in that room, like a fucking basset hound, just staring at it. "Joe, how was your day?" No response. "Joe, how was the drive up here?" No fucking response. Just staring at that food. You, my friend, husband of the year.
Yeah. Get my vote. I eat the sandwich. I scarf this thing down. This lady's given us flavored seltzer, alcoholic seltzers. Yep. I'm like 3 in. My daughter walks over to the table, knocks it right into my lap.
Well, knocks what? The drink or the sandwich?
The drink.
All right.
And so I said, go back over to the house, change my clothes. I didn't come back.
And you gave your daughter the $20. You told her you would give her for spilling the drink on you.
Couldn't have worked that any better.
That is the Irish goodbye. You know, it's my favorite movie. I have a buddy of mine. His name is Joe. I won't mention his last name. Is Snell. And
Good. Nobody needs to know Joe Snow.
No one knows Joe Snow. The biggest Irish goodbyer you've ever seen in your entire life. It's one of my favorite things about him. One minute he is there, and the next minute, gone. Like, disappears like Houdini. And it's usually like not somewhere where he's near his house. So like one night I was at my old house in Cromwell, and we had just the whole backyard was dug up because we're putting in like a pergola, like whatever the fuck we were doing. Me and Joe maybe had one too many, and Joe went outside to take a call, but Joe disappeared. So like I was outside pretty fucking shmammered. And I'm in this huge ditch in my yard screaming Joe's name like he, you know, fell to the center of the earth. And I didn't know he jumped the bushes on the side and just started sprinting down the road. And he went off into the darkness. And I just remember getting yelled at because I was screaming bloody murder like he died. It's probably and maybe one of the reasons why I no longer live at that house. But yes, it's my favorite quality. So every time we hang out with a bunch of dudes, I'm just like, I wonder where Joe's going to end up tonight. But I will say kudos to Joe. He's doing well. He's gave up the good old liquor, which is pretty amazing. And he's living that good, healthy life, which is kind of annoying because he's, you know, I got my certain section of friends that I can count on. And usually Joe is that, like, once it hits his lips, it's on like Donkey Kong. I've never seen anything like it. It could be a sip of Bud Light, and it's Frank the Tank. But my man, he's been doing well since December. It's impressive, Joe.
Good for him. That's really fantastic. I like people that can cut bad things out of their lives. I don't do that.
No. I'm not a quitter.
Despite my cardiologist's strongest wishes.
Listen, I wasn't.
You know what's funny? You know what's funny? You and I know each other from the social scene, from a lot of mutual business partners and stuff. Right. And so you and I, over the last couple of years, whenever I've seen you, it's in a social situation. And I always say hello to you and I always say goodbye to you.
Yep.
And all of the other people that and you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's not usually what I do. I only do this because of the professional atmosphere of the real estate, and you're you do real estate.
You gotta mingle as well. You gotta network.
We might as well shout the Britneys out. BB Realty.
BB Realty, Brittany and Brittany, little powerhouses. You got Jess Rydell over there too. She's killing it, you know.
Fantastic people, great people, great company. Yep. And we love you. You're a big supporter. We do a lot of business with you. And but you've only ever seen me in that capacity. Usually what I would do is, as everyone, you know, is eating and sort of drinking, I would just wander off. And, you know, at some point, Vin, they'd be like, where's Joe McGuire? And I'm home. Famous for that. Or I'll even do the, gonna run out to my car for a minute.
Oh, then you're gone.
Yeah, when I run out to my car, that means I'm starting it and then driving out in it.
See, I got FOMO, man. I'm not gonna lie. I think I'm just gonna miss out at something. Like, I gotta be the first one at the party. My wife just gets so mad. Like, I want to be in the driveway waiting for, like, it's 6 o'clock. I'm there 6:10, and I want the fresh snacks. I want the first plate of food, and I typically. And as I get older, I don't mind leaving now, right? Like, I think earlier in my career, I was very much into networking. I got to network. I got to meet all these people. And now, no offense to anyone who wants to network with me, like, I make a snap judgment within 7 seconds if I'm going to like you or not. And then that's how I judge if I'm going to do business. And if I don't, and it doesn't mean you're a bad person. It's just, it's written all over my face. Yeah, that I'm just like, I'm good. I'm going to get out of here. And plus, like, it's not, you know, back in the day, I go have a bunch of drinks, hang out, do what I got to do. Now I just don't have the energy, bro. Like, I just don't, I can't do it. I could have one or two. I get sleepy. Like, you know, I mean, although I'm hoping my testosterone replacement therapy that I'm doing, those of you guys see this on the video, hopefully you can notice I'm looking good. My skin looks younger. Hoping it helps with my energy soon, dude.
You got low T?
Yeah, low T, bro. It came back as Vincenza, dude. Like, they're like, sir, we'll make an appointment with your gynecologist. And I'm like, damn. Yeah. So just putting it out there, I'm not going to have low T for long, ladies. Yep. I just wish a warning shot to my wife that pretty soon I'm going to be chasing you around like I'm 18. You know, maybe a couple bad legs, but you got to
really get a threat or a promise.
You know, for her, it's definitely a threat. She knew she wants nothing to do with that promise, man. Nothing to do with that promise, you know. But yeah, man, I'm not ashamed about it. I'm out here. I'm just going to be healthy, dude. Healthy and full of testosterone. I can't wait. Can't wait. But it's the craziest thing, Joe, right? So what they do is, they act like it's a legitimate doctor on the phone. So you do like this telehealth shit. You do your fucking blood work. They probably doctor it. So they're like, yeah, dude, you definitely need some tests, but we got to have your doctor call you and screen you. And this fucking guy is doing like 78 calls a minute. So he's just reading off a post-it. Do you feel sleepy? Do you have low energy? Do you like raising brand? Yeah, dude. No, there's no shot. He is in some fourth world country.
He's in like Panama. He's like in the Panama Canal in a boat in international waters. Perfect
candidate. Like no time for questions. You just care. Click. Fucking 2 weeks later, needles and testosterone show up at your house. So, shout out to LabCorp for get me back in like a spring chicken in no time, dude. I'm excited. Very excited, ladies and gentlemen.
I wonder if your hair will grow back.
You know, I was thinking about that because then once you do it, you start talking about it. Like, you start getting TikToks. And this guy's like, yo, my hair grew back. And I'm like, yeah, you know. But I don't want that either, man. That'd just be weird because then I got to explain it to everybody why I have hair. Although I just told everybody that I'm on TRT. So, hey, you know. Who knows, man? Maybe I'll grow the fro back. I'll put the braids back in my hair like I had in college. Bring back white chocolate, and we'll be good. Yes. Dude, me and you with a full head of hair, there ain't no stopping us, dude. Ain't no stopping us.
That wouldn't even be right. That would be an FCC violation.
Dude, it just it wouldn't be fair, man. It wouldn't be like husbands be calling in trying to cancel us. It's bad, bro. You know, but you don't got to worry about that. We're locked down. We are committed men. Lucky for our ladies.
You know, you reminded me actually of, so I don't like, I don't love social situations and I never have.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. And it's part of why I resent my mother so much. When I was a kid, my mother was a loudmouth.
Yep.
I had an older brother and an older sister. Then there was me. And then many years later, we got a younger brother. My brother and sister were shy, wouldn't talk to anybody. And so my mother would like push me out front and center, awkward. Hey, how you doing? You know, school, baseball, whatever. And I've always hated it. I got into radio again, a thing where you have to be super social.
Correct.
I can do it. I do it well, but I don't love it. I've never loved it. When I launched this company, had a huge grand opening party in the studio right here.
Yep.
And, you know, I walked around the room, talked to everybody. And my business partners was at the time was a real introvert. And he said to me later on, he was like, I was watching you walk around the room.
Yeah.
And like engage with everybody. I don't know how you do it. And I was like, it's hard to do. I don't enjoy doing it. A lot of the people are weirdos. You know what I mean? People who I wouldn't have otherwise ever wanted to talk to. But what are you going to do? I've had to change my personality to fit my job.
Yeah.
And where I still prefer not going anywhere, doing anything, and just being home, I have to go out and do things a lot. And it's weird. It's like you just get there and you like do the thing. And it's weird.
But I think it's a, but a lot of people choose not to do that thing, right? Like, you know, for me, I'm not an introvert. Like, listen, I like being out there. I think as I get older, I don't really particularly like the social situations. I have my group of friends. I hang out with them. But one thing that separates me from other attorneys in my business is my personality, right? That's my marketing, and that's your marketing, right? Like, so it's okay for people to have not multiple personalities, like you're, you know, oh, here's Vin, and then there's the other Vin. Like, I think it's just a, people are multifaceted, and sometimes to tap into one piece of you is more difficult than the other one, right? But sometimes you need to work through that difficulty. You need to be comfortable in an uncomfortable situation, right? Yeah. To progress in life, progress with your family, progress in your job. You know, my stepson is very much an introvert in a lot of ways. You know, he could be in a stadium with 10,000 people. He could be in front of a crowd. He is that guy, scores a touchdown, shooting the arrow, people's champ. I'm that fucking guy. But then he just wants to stay home and hang out with his close friends. And then we go out and he's like, Vin, you know everybody. Like, you talk to everybody. And I'm like, because you never know what you're going to get out of that 10-minute conversation, right? You know, if me and you didn't take those 10 minutes every time we see each other to have that conversation, this wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
Right? If someone didn't have a conversation with me when I was going through a tough time, who knows what would happen next, right? In my business, if I'm not being outgoing in court, maybe I miss an opportunity to meet with a client or a new client. So I don't do the billboards and the TV commercials and things of that nature. But, and it's not, everyone sees me as, oh, he's outgoing, he's a big personality, but it's also, it's kind of uncomfortable for me to play that part at times, right? Because it's, you know, my wife will tell you, I don't mind sitting on the couch, watching TV, hanging out with my family. And I don't mind like the, you know, going on a double date and hanging out with a couple of people, but being in a big room, like that's not natural. That doesn't come natural to me. But, you know, I force myself to do it to a point now where I'm comfortable in that uncomfortable situation. And, you know, it's a necessary evil in our business, right? It is, we have to be that way. And I think people have to realize you could be both, right? Like you don't have to always be defined by how you always were, right? Like you can't, because then you never progress. You're just the same person. You can't, like we've talked before, you can't do the same shit and expect the same results, right? But my parents were, you know, they had their hands full because me and my sister were both, you know we were there. Like there's never been a situation where you didn't know me and my sister were at a spot or at an event. And I think that's really like just being the Provenzano. My grandmother has 16 kids and you're coming from this fucking... Yeah, 16, no hobbies. She had no hobby. Well, she had one hobby. I don't need to describe it because she has 16 kids. But, and we were all the same. Like, you know, we're there. You know, kind of bigger than life personalities. So it was, but it's also kind of tiresome at times where you always got to be on, right? Yeah. So, like, you know how it is. I mean, you're on the radio all the time. You got to be on. You're on your podcast. You got to be on. I'm in court. I got to be on all the time. I'm with a client. I got to be on. And by the time you get home, you're just physically exhausted and you shut down. And I think that's what I did in my last marriage is that by the time I got home, I had nothing left for my personal life, you know, and it wasn't, hey, I didn't want to talk to my ex-wife or something necessarily she did. It was just, I was done. Like I put on a show. And I just want that quiet. But it's, and I think for me, when I was going through it, I would just get mad at her because she was like, how was your day? How was your day? I'm like, I don't want to repeat my shitty fucking day. because that's just gonna put me in a worse mood. But that's it's really not her fault. She just wanted to know what happened with my day. So those are the things that you learn from, right? Like, you know, we have talked, you know, before, it's either you could use your past to learn and move forward, or you could have your past just use you, right? Like, and just keep doing the same thing. And you have a choice to make. So when I was going through what I was going through, I knew what I needed to change. I knew what I was doing. So I just switched the perspective of it. And my wife is very cognizant of that. So the conversations are very rarely about like what happened in my day, and more just conversations about just, you know, the day going forward or just in general. I think it's much different because you have kids. So, you know, you're really not focused on what happened throughout the day. And I think we're both cognizant of that.
Yeah.
And you kind of learn from your mistakes in that aspect, because if not, you know, you end up just rehashing the same shit like every day. You know, like we had that conversation off air, but there was a piece I heard today where 90% of your thoughts aren't original thoughts. They're the same thoughts you had the day before and the day before that, where, and 80% of those 90% are just negative thoughts. So imagine that you spend 90% of your day thinking about shit you thought about the day before, and 80% of that is just negative. And then you go home and you wonder why you're just not happy where you're at, where you look at a child that's just perpetually happy all of the time, and they're living in this, they don't have that past to relate to, right? They don't have that crutch that, oh my God, all this stuff happened to me, and they can rethink it. Everything is new, right? Like everything is just imaginary, and I have all these options in the world. And, you know, I think that's kind of, if you could reshape the way you think about your life and live in a more of present and possibilities than past, you know, I think that is the goal. I mean, listen, at the end of the day, we can't live in an imaginary world and have these imaginary thoughts that, hey, 45, I'm going to be an astronaut and ride a fucking unicorn. Like, that's a bit aggressive. Go use your imagination. But I think if you're cognizant of, you know, you're sitting in your car and you're getting frustrated about something that you were frustrated with yesterday, probably the day before, and you're cognizant of that, once you're aware, I think you could switch it a little bit.
70% of the 80% of thoughts from yesterday are about the Roman Empire. I saw that in a TikTok.
Well, you got to explain that one to me, because I'm not going to lie. I haven't thought about the Roman Empire since my third year of Latin in high school.
Really? Dude, there's this whole TikTok thing that was going around like a month or so ago. And women were asking men how often they think about the Roman Empire.
Zero.
And many men, myself included, would tell you every day. Every day. Something exactly. Will make me think of the Roman Empire every single day.
Like Little Caesar's Pizza?
Sure.
Maybe that. That is
sure. If somebody refers to the calendar as the Julian calendar, I immediately think of Julius Caesar, who invented it.
Roman I would have Empire. No idea what you're talking about. Like zero things. Like zero.
Yeah.
Things.
You're that in that small percentage of men who not into it.
I'm like zero.
You know what it probably is?
What?
The low T.
Oh, but I'm coming up there. So like I know I've hit peak performance when I start walking around with no shirt on and a sword and fighting wild animals out in a field like the Colosseum. That's the Roman Empire, right?
Yeah, you're gonna, if you name your next dog Tiberius, I'll know the T's working.
Like I am
that's very aggressive. That's a very aggressive thing to name a dog.
It's super aggressive. Like I think that would probably be the last thing I've ever thought of in a daily like grind. Like I've never thought of, you know what, the Roman Empire. What would Julius Caesar do? He's like the only person I know from the Roman Empire. Julius Caesar. That's it.
And
that's all
now you know Tiberius.
I couldn't spell it. I couldn't name my dog. I couldn't spell Tiberius.
How about Germanicus?
What?
Nero.
Who? Augustus. Robert De Niro? I know Robert De Niro.
Bobby D.
Bobby D. He's a guy. Didn't he just have a kid?
Yeah, he did. And he's like 82.
Yo, imagine that. Like, would you be mad? Like, right? Like, say once this kid gets like 16 or 10, and clearly he's dead because he's old as fuck. Like,
if he even makes it that long.
Yeah, but like, would you be mad as a kid? You're like, what the fuck? Why did you have me? You know, we were never going to be best friends because you were old as shit.
I had my son when I turned 40.
Yeah, but that's different.
It's not. I feel terrible. I'm like, I have to live to be 120 so that he's 80 when I die, and it won't be so it won't be so hard on him.
No, you can't. Like, first of all, like, they're... No one wants to see their kid at 80.
I do. I love that kid. He's the best.
The only time I would want to see Jess at 80, if he becomes like a complete shitbag, and I want him to see him suffer. Because there's nothing good at 80 years old.
I just don't want my son to not have a father. I think he would be sad. But if he's like 80, then it won't be, you know, it would have less.
He's going to have a lot of things to be sad about when he's 80, dude.
Yeah. So me dying won't affect him. And plus, I'll be 120.
It's my biggest fear.
He lived a good life, 120 years, this bastard.
Dude, it's my biggest fear in the world. Like, there's nothing I fear more than getting old. Like, nothing. Like, zero things in life. Like, it is my... I really freak out about it. I can't.
Have you ever thought you might live forever? Like, that you're the center of the universe and that time as we know it is all centered around you? I've never thought that.
That's a lie, Joe. We all know you think that. There's zero, like, no. Like, I fear that I'm going to live to be very old because I don't want to. Like, so I'm in court 2 days ago, and, like, Father Time was sitting next to me. Like, this guy had to be 700 years old. Like, 700. Like, wheezing. Like, just, like, I thought he was going to die next to me. I couldn't believe, like, no one was, like, reacting. And I'm like, what happens if this guy dies right next to me? And I'm like, I can't live this old. Never mind work. Like, this dude must have been fiscally fucked. Because there's no way I'm fucking shuffling to court with my ashy fucking ankles and slippers and wheezing and smelling like death. And I'm like going to work. It's my biggest... I tell my wife all the time, I will tap out. I'll go to like Sweden where they have those cool capsules. You just fucking lay down and
there you go.
Take a nap. That's... I'm buying one. I'm going to buy one. And I'm just... I don't know what age it's going to be. But it's going to be young in some people's eyes. But no, I can't. I'm really like getting upset about it. Think about it. I'm getting agita, like agita. And that's how old I am when I say agita. That's acid reflux, just for people who don't know. But I'm not doing well with that.
This feels like the right time to do a public service announcement. I'm drinking Canada Dry, no sugar ginger ale.
But he had a fucking sandwich with 7 pounds of pickles, cheese, and fucking spicy turkey.
This balances it out. Now listen. The Canada Dry is pretty good. It can be a little carbonated, you know.
So you got the burps.
So I recently discovered Schweppes. Has a no sugar
boo
ginger ale.
Awful.
Started buying it. Was drinking a lot of it. And I thought to myself, I can't believe there's no sugar in this. It's so good. But then I also felt like I was putting on weight. And I said to myself, you know what? I got to stop drinking this. And so I took a few weeks off. And just yesterday, they announced that Schweppes No Sugar Ginger Ale does, in fact, have a ridiculous amount of sugar in it. And it's being recalled. Can't win. You can't win.
That is lovely. That is Love it. I don't like Schweppes anyways. I think it's trash. I'm not a Schweppes guy.
It's not very carbonated.
No, but I do think ginger ale is very underrated. I love ginger ale. Like, one, it settles your stomach, good. Especially when you're like older. Two, it's good in mixed drinks because it settles your stomach. And three, if you're a person like me who loves to burp, there's nothing better than a good bottle of ginger ale and letting one release at the dinner table.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I was never a ginger ale fan until I was in the hospital.
Mm.
And they serve up no sugar ginger ale in the hospital. Yeah. And I was like, oh, dude, this isn't terrible.
Dude, like, a hospital is like a crack house for ginger ale. Like, that's where people get hooked on ginger ale. Fucking
good
crack
place.
House.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're like pain pills, and you can wash those pain pills down with some sugar free ginger ale.
I always did. Always did. It was always a little can of ginger ale. Like, oh, take your pill.
Man, yes. That is hilarious. I do like ginger ale, though. I'm glad we got that out of the way. Underrated. What else do I like as far as soda? Not a big soda guy anymore. Always going to be a DC fan. You DC or Diet Pepsi or Pepsi?
I've always just preferred the Coca-Cola.
Yes,
I love. I'll tell you what I really love.
McDonald's Coke.
Oh yeah.
Way better.
McDonald's. Yeah, there's something there, but I love a glass with some ice, Coca-Cola, and some kind of meat, steak or burger or some. I mean, it just hits. It's a good. It's not good for you, I know, but it's so good. I try to limit that. You go to a pizza place, you get a pie. It's like, how you not gonna have a?
I know, but here's the thing. So, like, I don't talk to my dad anymore, and everybody fucking knows that. But, like, one of the things that used to drive me fucking nuts about my dad, other than him not talking to me, but, you know, we'll brush that to the fucking side, is that we would go to the bar, and he loved his Jack and Coke. And, you know, you get that bar fucking Coke. It's not the real Coke. Yeah. And it was like fucking church on Sunday. That shit come down, one fucking sip, nope, that's not Coca-Cola. Like, this big fucking scene about it. Like, it's bar Coke, I'm not going to drink it. And it just ruined, like, Coke for me at a restaurant. Right, like, or my other pet peeve is when the waitress or waiter walks it over and it's fucking, there's no bubbles. Like, you pour that shit and there's no fucking bubbles, and then you put it in front of me and there's still no fucking bubbles. Like, if you got flat soda, I don't care, take my straw, blow bubbles in it so there's a little bit of fizz before it gets to my table, and put a fresh straw in it. There's nothing worse than flat fucking soda. First world problems once again. Yes.
Last year at the Cape, we went to a restaurant. Got to go to this place for dinner. It's Thursday night. We go there. New management, new menu. Flat soda.
What did
appetizer came out. Did not look good. And we were like, peace out.
I am out of here. I'm a big food snob. I feel like I'm just a bad person today. Like, I have a lot of complaints on this podcast today, but
all legit. They're all legit.
All legit, right? Like, I can't. Like, there's this big Italian restaurant in Cheshire, like, real big Italian restaurant. I'm not gonna mention their name. I really want to, but if you go out to eat in Cheshire and you like Italian, it's the restaurant you're thinking of. But I've walked out three straight times. Three, because I've waited 2 hours for my meal and I can't. I left my sister's birthday party. She had like 20 people. Big old, like, last supper dinner table. And I just got up with my wife, and God bless her soul. And everyone's like, where you're going? She's like, that's my husband. I'm ride or die. But, like, I can't deal with that. Like, I have this, like, and this is a bad quality of mine, that, like, when I walk into a restaurant, I'm famous. Like, I feel like, haha, I'm here, ta-da, serve me. And it's such a weird thing because, like, my wife will call me out on it. I'm like, no one's asked us. She's like, we just sat down. And I'm like, but I'm here. And I think it's a Joe moment. That's what I have. I'm going to call that the Joe moment. Like, ta-da.
I understand, like, what you're saying.
Yeah, right? Like, bask in my greatness. How dare you not make my Subway rap better and faster.
P.S. I just assumed everybody thought this.
Yeah. P.S. Subway, go to hell, right? So I go to Subway, and people make fun of me, but I like Subway's tuna. Go ahead. It's gross. Could be cat, dog, whatever it is, but I like their tuna. They don't do wraps anymore. They have this weird, like, it's like a hybrid flatbread and wrap thing, right? So, and I'm like, this is kind of fucking weird. So he's making my wrap as, like, the tuna is just falling out the fucking sides because there's no sides on the fucking wrap. And I've already told you that, like, I can't wait to get to the office to eat my fucking sandwich. So it's just, I come in the office and I just look like a fucking, someone, like, a whole tuna fucking exploded on my shirt. And I'm just like, and then you go back and the guy's like, how did you like your wrap? And I'm like, it's not a wrap. So mad. So Subway, fuck off. So now I can't go to Subway anymore. Man, this has really gotten off the tracks again, Joe. But, like, I just shit down some restaurant in Cheshire. I told Subway to go fuck themselves. And you're in your Cape Cod hoodie just loving life and laughing at me. So I appreciate it. Thank you. There it is.
I spent $186 at the candy store in Hyannis.
And what?
Candy.
What? No shit, Sherlock. What type of candy? I'm not a big candy guy, so.
Just candy. A little bit of fudge, some bark, but otherwise Hershey Kisses, individual, gummy bears. $186. They just kept grabbing stuff.
And you're worried about, like, sugar in a ginger ale bottle, bro?
Yeah.
Yo, because that $180 at the candy store is going to turn into $8,000 at a dentist office in fucking no time.
Just, oh, yeah.
No.
I did. I bought them both an electric toothbrush.
The what?
Electric toothbrush.
My wife has one of those.
Yeah, my wife swears by it. I guess that's, like, that's the latest rage. I still use, like, a charcoal one.
Yeah, but dude, they have the ones now for like $12. You just hit a button and they buzz for a little bit, and then you throw it on and get another one instead of having to buy the super expensive one.
What are you, Justin Timberlake? Who does that?
What? What do you mean? Who does what?
You know, Justin Timberlake only wears underwear once. Do you know that? I know that.
I didn't know that, but if I had the money, I would.
Yeah.
I wear mine until there's just a huge hole. Like, bad. Like, the other day, like, I walked out. I get ready at the gym, and I'm like, it's kind of breezy. And it was just full cheeks hanging out. Like, I don't even know how I got them on without noticing. And this poor lady who, like, she cleans the bathroom no matter if it's full or not. So, like, I'm just, like, I walk out of the shower, and I'm like, she's like, hey. And I'm like, what's up, TRT? My testosterone, is it working or not? She's like, what? I'm like, never mind. I'm good. But yeah, no, I don't throw away my underwear. I probably should throw away more of my underwear now that I think about it. But I'm like, you know what? Sometimes you just need like the work underwear, and then you need your weekend underwear. And yeah, I wish I could do that, though. Imagine if you had that kind of money. I mean, what's your underwear budget, right? Like, are you throwing away like Tommy John? Are you throwing away like Hanes? That's the question I would ask. If he was on our podcast,
that would be the question.
That's the number one fucking question. Like, if you throw out your underwear, what type of underwear are you throwing out? Is that Tommy John shit? It's like $30 a pair, dude. It's wild.
Well, that's you want to be tossing out the $30 pair. That's baller. That's how you know you made it.
No, dude. No, I just get whatever's on Amazon on sale. I like buying bulk. I want a laundry bag full of drawers so I could just. Don't have to worry about it, dude. And black drawers, too. Like, I don't understand. Like, I think, like, if you're wearing white underwear as a fucking adult, you're clearly a psychopath.
Yeah, you're a serial killer.
Yeah, there's like zero shot white tidy whiteys, dude. You got issues.
You're a serial killer, and if you're like, but I haven't killed anybody yet.
Yet is the key word because you are angry. Like you are just fucking angry.
Dude, I remember being 11 years old and I got a pair of boxers and it was like the most amazing moment of my life. I distinctly remember the day and the underwear I was wearing and I thought, oh, this is how you're supposed to live.
Yeah, I can't. I was never like I wore boxers as a kid because I have a choice. My mom would buy me my underwear. But like I didn't like it because it was like because I was a kid who I had to wear my boxers, wear my basketball shorts, and then my jeans. So I always wore like my basketball shorts underneath my jeans because I like to wear my jeans real low, right? So back in the day, remember when you were busting the sag like that you know, you had your carpenter jeans, and then you were just out here like the lower the better. So I had my basketball shorts, my butt cheeks weren't hanging out. So there's way too many short activities going on. So I'm more of like a boxer brief guy now. I think that's where the hybrid, that's where you're at. That's when you.
That's where I'm living now. Yeah. That's where I am these days. As an adult, boxer brief is, dude, it does everything it needs to do.
It does. And you don't got to walk around like picking, digging a fucking wedgie all the time. Like my old boss who had passed away, gotta be 2010. Like, it's like one of my fondest memories of another man. This is fucking weird, but he used to dig at his wedgie like anywhere, bro. We'd be in court and this dude is fucking handfuling his underwear out of his pants. And I'm like, bro, like, what are you doing? It was a funny, and he was a big guy, dude. He was just like, it was the funniest thing he'd be like, judge me staring at him. And I'm like, Mike, you gotta switch it over, bro. I know what you're doing down there. No more boxers where you are. You know, 6'3", 200 and something pounds. Like, you can't be wearing fucking shorts underneath your pants, dude. You look crazy. And he would just laugh. He thought it was funny. He'd do that old, like, lift the legs so you don't got to pick the wedgie out. I'm like, bro.
What do you think of dudes that wear, like, red or aqua, purple?
Well, what's listen.
What's going on there?
Yeah, I mean, if you could pull it off, right, like, you can't be some slob in some like aqua briefs. Like, you got to be like beach ready, right? Like, you got to be that dude. Me, no, I'm just straight black. Just give me some black undies. I'm not confident in anything I'm doing, so I'm not going any shade lighter than black. I mean, I remember when I was single for 5 minutes and I'm like, yo, I'm going to buy some nice underwear because I'm going to get crazy amount of ladies. And they're going to be like, yo, that's the underwear. And never panned out. It didn't. You know, I just went right to black. And I'm like, I'm not making an effort. And just no one cares. It's like I talked to my wife and I'm like, I was never like a lingerie guy, right? Like, I don't need someone dressing up in an outfit to get fucking naked. Like, I mean, I guess some guys fucking like it. Like me, just get naked. It's way better and it's fucking cheaper. Like, that's it. Like, I don't need the show. Listen, I'm not that guy in the bedroom. I don't, you know, we're not going to put on the dog and pony show. Just save your money. Save the $50. We'll buy a couple extra drinks at dinner and just get naked. You know, it's just the way I roll, dude. I'm not just how it is. I think my wife would like me to keep my clothes on, you know, so she's, you know, the more clothes I wear to bed might be the better.
Yeah. Well, look. If anybody's going to do the dog and pony show, it's not going to be you.
Fucking no. Like, and I don't have the patience for anyone else to do it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not, it's like you having a sandwich and having to wait an hour. Like, I'm not going to sit in bed while, you know, this beautiful woman walks into my room and like, look at what I have on. And okay, congrats. You know what happens next? What if
there was a dance performance of some sort?
No, not interested. Patience, bro. Like, I have zero patience in life with things like that. And I know, like, my window at 44 is a short window, right? Like, I don't have a lot of time to fucking mess around these days. So when the opportunity strikes, you got to strike when that iron's hot. You know what I mean?
Fair.
Fair enough.
You know what I mean? I'm not sitting around for 10 minutes, dude. That's suicide, dude. Ain't no way. Nope. Not me. Maybe after my first round of TRT, that story may change. But right now, I know my limitations. And gentlemen, know your limitations in life. How's that for a lesson today?
I like that.
You know, do we have any lessons to tell people today, Joe? Like, we hit on one a little bit, but I think what people have learned today is don't wear white underwear when you're a grown-ass man. That's one.
Test the limits.
Yes. Of what, Joe?
Of everything. Just test your own limits. Test your limits. Again, just listen. There's going to be times in your life.
Yes.
Where you have to come outside your box.
That cap. As kids say, that just sounded bad, Joe. You can't just say, come outside your box and then fucking leave it there, Joe.
That's a like totally totally different episode.
If I was at the kitchen table, the kid be yelling, cap, pause, all that fun stuff. But yes, you have to kind of live outside of your box a little bit. You know, you live outside the box, Joe, you know. Speaking of outside the box,
or come outside the box.
Oh, bro. Just,
maybe you do that.
This is how immature I am. So speaking of that phrase, I was at my kid's baseball game, and so his friends were sitting behind me, and he's got this friend Paul, and the kid is just like me. Like, he's just outrageous all the time. And he's like the yin and yang, him and Jess, right? Jess is kind of more quiet. Paul's much more like me, just saying crazy shit all the time. So he said exactly what you said, and none of the parents got it. And he kept saying it because I kept trying not to laugh. And I was like trying to like be the adult, and I couldn't even help myself. I was dying laughing. But you got to be a kid at heart sometimes and just enjoy life and laugh a little bit. I got a cool story though. Mike, the kid went on his first junior visit to Anna Maria College. So for nice. Football. So he, they said they were going to be his number one target and all this stuff, but this is how I know he's not me. Right. So, and my wife's like, of course he's not, because you know, I'm like, thanks for pointing it out. No shit. But we pull into this little college and it looked like St. Paul's High School in Bristol. Like, it's small, Joe. There's like 1,300, kids. Like, the facility's a little bit older. I mean, it's a nice little school, but in my head, I'm like, there's no fucking way I would go here. Like, I need shiny shit. Like, that's how I was. I was like, I need cool food, cool calf, where the baddies at, right? And I'm like looking around and I'm looking at Jess, and the kid is more mature than I am. He's like, well, you know, really fits my personality. And, you know, I could kind of see myself here. But I think the biggest thing was he goes and talks to the offensive coordinator and the head coach for like an hour, just on his own, just shooting the shit, approaches them like in a very like adult manner. And I'm just sitting back and I'm like, in the back of my head, like, this kid's having like legitimately weighing out his options in life. And there I am at 44 being like, there's no baddies in the calf. And I'm like, bro, you know, and I look at my wife and I'm like, yep, that's how old you are, Vin. You're an adolescent. You know, that's what I know. She didn't say it out loud, but I could see it in her eyes. But no, we were super excited. It was his first one, but it's, you know, it's funny how you see how these kids approach things now. It's a lot different than what we did. And, you know, and I think one of the things I learned, like, because I knew immediately, like, I already had past judgment. I'm like, there's no way. This kid has worked his ass off. I want him to go, like, top-notch school, like, best of best of best. But then you got to learn that, you know, just because that's what you want for the kid doesn't mean that's what's best for him and what he wants.
Right.
And I think that was the learning experience I had from it. Is that, you know what, like, seeing him happy, and I think that's what matters most. Cause I think as a parent, and I'm sure you would attest to this, you want the best of the best for your kid. Right. And mm-hmm. you know, who defines what's best for your kid than the best person to do it is your kid in that particular situation. Right. But yeah, man, it was funny. And, you know, so now he's a big man on campus, dude. He's, you know, highly sought after, you know, so it was a blast, but it was definitely a learning experience. Like, you know, I mean, they were like, oh, there's no ACs in these dorms. I was like, I'm like, yo, I'm out of here. And Jeff is like, well, you know, you're not going to be here that long in the summer. And by the time you get here and settle in, it'll be the fall time and you might be okay. Then you're going to leave in the spring. And I'm like, bro, you're wild, man. He was all about it. Me, on the other hand, I was just like, no, I'm not coming to visit you. None of that shit. None of that shit. But it was pretty dope. It was pretty dope. And then he's playing baseball. You know, they were 0-5, but they won the last two games. So it's
nice.
It's good times. You know, it was nice. Not having to cheer on a loser yesterday. So I was pretty excited about that. And then I'm here with you, Joe. So it's been a good time. How was your week other than Cape Cod? How's your new job position, Joe?
Oh, I love it. It's fun. I'm really enjoying myself. Mm. It's off to a wonderful start. Getting good reception from the fans. So I always love that.
Must be nice being you, Joe, just being showered no matter what you do, right? Like, new position at 104.1, great. Friends come over, podcast is dope. You know, I'm just it's tough.
It's all aces these days. All aces. Go figure.
Man, I gotta be more like you. I just get yelled at by my clients all the time. I had a guy yesterday, and you know, like what I tell people is like, it's the only job where they hire you, but they know more than me, right? Like, it's insane. Like, you hire me to do my job, then you YouTube some shit, then you're like, hey, this is how you need to be a lawyer. So I got this dude who's been in the Navy for like 30 years and he did war strategy, right? So like, I'm going into court on like some child support back arrearage, like really like boilerplate. We're going to get this done. I'm not paying it any mind. And he is just a stress ball. And he's like, what's your strategy? What's your game plan? Like, what pieces are you moving? And I'm like, the game plan is for you to shut the fuck up. Like, you just need to stop talking. And he's like, well, this is what we need to do. And I'm like, you hired me for a reason, right? Like, that's like me like going on a warship and telling you like, this is how we're going to defeat this army. Like, that would be wild because I Googled some shit, right? Like, and it went exactly how I thought it would be. And he was just like, oh. I'm like, yeah, I know what I'm doing, but it's insane. It's wildly, it's like going to surgery, YouTubing the fucking shit and be like, hey, surgeon, this is how it's going down today. That's my life. Every day I get some jerk in a cell. He's like, my Sully said this is how it needs to go down. And I'm like, the dude who got arrested, the guy who's in jail with you is your attorney. It's just wild, right? You know, so, but it's what I signed up for, Joe. It's just changing lives, changing plans. It's what I do.
One person at a time.
Just one person at a time. You know, but it's also like a wild profession where like I get people divorced, right? And then I'm like, good luck in life. Like, that's why like I kind of got into the coaching, because it's like, for example, your kid graduates high school, goes off to college, and you never talk to him again. Like, you're just like, hey, good luck. Like, go learn on your own. It's the same thing when you're doing a divorce. These people's life's been turned upside down. They don't have less money. They don't have a home, whatever. And you just shuffle them out the door. And then what? Like, that is the big question mark. And, you know, hence why we're here doing this podcast. And I try to do my coaching stuff is that, you know, we try to help you out with that and then do some friendly banter on the side. And, you know, and give you some life lessons, and you know, drink diet ginger ale, right? That's a big one. That's a big one. There you go. Number two is drink more diet ginger ale, because that was a good one today. You know, I think that's all I learned today, Joe. That's all. He loves him some diet ginger ale.
It is really good.
You know, but
Changeofplanct.com is the website. And I think if anyone's looking for live coaching, I think you would be spectacular at it.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. And I'm here if you guys need me. Check out the website, changeofplanct.com. If you don't know if you need a life coach or not, you go take a couple quizzes, kind of point you in the right direction, free consultations. More than happy to chit chat. Just, you know, hit me up, let me know. And we'll get you on the next podcast.
If you think you need coaching, you do.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I always say.
And what I always tell people too, it's everyone, you know, thinks it's cost prohibitive, but it's not. You know, I am fortunate enough where I have a prospering business, so I'm not trying to make $1 million off my people. I really honestly just want to help. Obviously I would like to make money at the end of the day, but I have a business that I'm doing that at. So at this point I'm in a fortunate situation where I'm really focused just on helping people. So, you know, at the end of the day, I think we all need a little bit of it, and the coaching that I provide also helps me in turn with my own life. So it's definitely a team collaborative effort. Kind of like this podcast, you know, we can't do it on our own, but together as a team, you know, we make stuff happen. So, more than happy. Hope you guys reach out. In regards to the podcast, Joe, I know I had posted something, but I would love for people to provide feedback. If there's topics they want us to hit on, I think that would be great. Make it a little more interactive. So going forward, you know, maybe we'll do a little bit more of that, and keep this thing moving along.
We could start doing some live ones too. I think that might be fun.
Dude, I think that would be maybe we'll do that on the next one. I think that'd be you know what? I like where your head's at.
Yeah. Like, share, subscribe, do all those things. Changeofplanct.com is the website. For Vin Provenzano, I'm Joe McGuire. We'll catch you next time on the Change of Plans podcast.
Later.